Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya De Satarane. So, we are going to do a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the chapter Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. All right. Let's see if this works. All right. If it works, it works.
It should work. It was working from the other computer in the other room.
All right.
It's working
immediately. Jai. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation of the ocean of mercy. His lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu, the greatest of mendicants, who bound the entire world with the knot of ecstatic love of God. All glories to Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you would be more comfortable on the chairs, please. You sure? All glories to Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He induced Krishna to descend and thus delivered the entire world. All glories to all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is their life and soul. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri performed his various pastimes with his devotees in the waves of love of Krishna. Then a sannyasi named Ramachandra Puri came to see Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramananda Puri offered respects at the feet of Ramachandra Puri, and Ramachandra Puri strongly embraced him. I'm not going to read the purports because there's not enough time. We're just going to read the translations, if you please allow me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also offered obeisances to Ramachandra Puri, who then embraced him and thus remembered Krishna. The three of them talked about Krishna for some time, and then Jagadananda came and extended an invitation to Ramachandra Puri. A large quantity of remnants of food from Lord Jagannath was brought in for distribution. Ramachandra Puri ate sumptuously, and then he wanted to find faults in Jagadananda Pandit. Can anybody remember who was Jagadananda Pandit in Krishna Leela? Something is telling me that it is Satyabhama. But, yeah. But I'd have to do a search. So don't quote me on that. After finishing the meal, Ramachandra Puri requested, "My dear Jagadananda, please listen. You eat the food that is left." With great eagerness, Ramachandra Puri seated Jagadananda Pandit and personally served him prasadam. Encouraging him again and again, Ramachandra Puri fed him sumptuously. But when Jagadananda had washed his hands and mouth, Ramachandra Puri began criticizing him. "I have heard," he said, "that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat more than necessary. Now I have directly seen that this is true. Feeding a sannyasi too much breaks his regulative principles. For when a sannyasi eats too much, his renunciation is destroyed." Now Krishnadas Kaviraj comments, "The characteristic of Ramachandra Puri was that he would first induce someone to eat more than necessary, and then he would criticize him. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandrapuri came to where he was staying. Madhavendrapuri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Then Ramachandrapuri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. Chapter 8, Antyalila. We're on text number 21. "If you are in full transcendental bliss," he said, "you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying?" Hearing this instruction, Madhavendrapuri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal. Oh my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman." Ramachandrapuri was thus denounced by Madhavendrapuri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism. So, what does that prompt me to do? Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I love reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. It just gets me so enlivened. Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performs service to Madhavendrapuri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwarapuri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendrapuri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendrapuri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Now we're on 30. Pleased with Ishwarapuri, Madhavendrapuri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Who would like that benediction? Everyone should want that benediction. Everyone. Let's chant the holy name, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We have 7 people online. Jagatpati did it. Jagatpati, all glories to Jagatpati. For those of you on the internet, we were struggling very hard to get this webcast going. And none of us could solve it. But Jagatpati, the GBC of this house, he solved it. So I want everyone online to bless Jagatpati. Yes, Bunky Bihari was saying, "I was wondering what was happening." Yes, me too. Anyway, these things are beyond our control. And Ratan Chakraborty says, "I want only devotee association." All right, so, and Bunky Bihari says, "All blessings to Jagatpati." All right, let's get back to the reading. Thus, Ishwarapuri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandrapuri became a dry speculator and critic of everyone else. Ishwarapuri received the blessing of Madhavendrapuri, whereas Ramachandrapuri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwarapuri and Ramachandrapuri are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendrapuri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. His divine grace, Madhavendrapuri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the world, he chanted the following verse. This is a famous verse. Please repeat. Ayi dina dayardra. Natahe. Mathura nath. Kadavaloksyase. Hridayam. Twad aloka kataram. Daita brahmyati. Karomyaham. Please repeat. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura. So who is the Master of Mathura? Krishna. When shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Now Krishnadas Kaviraj comments. In this verse, Madhavendrapuri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. And it is Lord Chaitanya's teaching that this vipralamba, or feeling of separation from Krishna, is the highest spiritual ecstasy. Materially, this is not the case. We don't like it when our loved one is away from us. In fact, it's full of anxiety. It's not blissful unless you can't stand your partner, which happens sometimes. But generally, when two lovers are separated, they feel intense separation, and it's not blissful. There's a million and one songs on the radio since history all about separation of materialistic lovers. But in the spiritual world, it's just the opposite. The spiritual world is 180 degrees opposite of the material world. So, for instance, another aspect. In the material world, illicit sex, having paramour lovers, is abominable, most sinful. But Krishna, in the spiritual world, all the gopis are his paramour lovers. So what's most abominable in the material world becomes the topmost in the spiritual world. Similarly, we don't like separation in this material world, but in the spiritual plane, Lord Chaitanya teaches, it's the highest ecstasy. That's why our philosophy is achintya. It's inconceivable. It doesn't make logical sense. Doesn't. But it works. Let's continue. In this verse, Madhavendrapuri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. Madhavendrapuri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was explained earlier in the Adi Leela chapter 9 when Krishnadas Kaviraj describes the Chaitanya tree and the same point that Madhavendrapuri was the original seed. Text 37. I have incidentally described the passing of Madhavendrapuri. Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. So, you just got the price of admission. Right? Very good. This is another reason why I like Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every so often you get these blessings from Krishnadas Kaviraj. And it's just so nice. When I was working in the material world, the only thing that kept me going was Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes I'd be so fried. I'd be so miserable come the weekend. But I would take out Chaitanya Charitamrita, and after about 20 minutes it was like, I could breathe again. All right, let's continue. Thus, Ramachandra Puri stayed at Jagannath Puri. As is customary for those in the renounced order, he would sometimes stay someplace and then go away. There was no certainty of where Ramachandra Puri would take his meal, for he would do so even uninvited. Nevertheless, he was very particular about keeping account of how others were taking their meals. Boy, what a character, huh? In other words, he's a sannyasi, okay, but it's like he's really taking advantage, right? Shows up uninvited, and then keeping account of everybody's business. To invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cost 300 kaudis, or small conch shells. Boy, conch shells. Wow. This would provide lunch for three people, including Lord Chaitanya, and sometimes Kashiswar and Govinda. Every day the Lord would take his meal at a different place, and if someone was prepared to pay for a meal, the price was fixed at only 4 panas. And 4 panas is 4 times 80 small conch shells. Ramachandra Puri concerned himself with gathering all sorts of information about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was situated, including his regulative principles, his lunch, his sleep, and his movements. Yeah, he's a trip. Because Ramachandra Puri was interested only in finding faults, he could not understand the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His only concern was finding faults. But still, he could not find any. Jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Jai.
At last he found a fault. How can a person in the renounced order eat so many sweetmeats, he said. If one eats sweets, controlling the senses is very difficult. In this way, Ramachandra Puri blasphemed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before everyone. But nevertheless, he would regularly come to see the Lord every day. Yes. Yep. When they met, the Lord would offer him respectful obeisances, considering him a god-brother of his spiritual master. Ramachandra Puri's business, however, was to search for faults in the Lord. And I remember being in Vrindavan in 1975, and we were instructed by the temple authorities that even if Prabhupada's godbrother, who we knew was one of Prabhupada's detractors, someone who didn't like Prabhupada, and even if he came to the temple, we were to pay obeisances and treat him with respect. Even though we knew that this person was somebody who was against Prabhupada. Still, the instruction was, you still pay your obeisances and you don't say nothing. When they met, the Lord would offer him respectful obeisances. Ramachandra Puri's business was to search for faults. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Ramachandra Puri was criticizing him before everyone. But whenever Ramachandra Puri came to see him, the Lord offered him respects with great attention. So that also is very difficult when you know that somebody is saying things about you to others. That really hurts. You know, it's, in other words, if they say it to you, all right, that's one thing. But when they're going out and telling everybody, it's like you feel completely decimated. But notice, Lord Chaitanya practices what he preaches. He preaches, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororiva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Lord Chaitanya is showing us that he practices what he preaches. Let's continue. One day, Ramachandra Puri came in the morning to the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing many ants, he said something to criticize the Lord. Last night there was sugar candy here, he said. Therefore ants are wandering about. Alas, this renounced sannyasi is attached to sense gratification. After speaking this way, he got up and left. So he's got his victory. He found it. He's got the proof. He's got the evidence. See? Jury, look. The ants. Guilty as charged. He is eating too many sweets. He's a bogus sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard rumors about Ramachandra Puri's blasphemy. Now he directly heard his fanciful accusations. Ants generally crawl about here and there and everywhere, but Ramachandra Puri, imagining faults, criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by alleging that there had been sweetmeats in his room. After hearing this criticism, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doubtful and apprehensive. Therefore, he called Govinda. So Govinda is who? His secretary servant, right? Yes. And Govinda is his godbrother. But when Ishwara Puri was leaving his body, he told Govinda, now you go serve your godbrother, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, that's the, I get the feeling that they were actual godbrothers. Actually godbrothers. And if I remember, he was serving Ishwara Puri. So at his deathbed, he said, you go now and you serve Lord, you know, Sri Chaitanya. What, you have different... Okay, that I don't know. I don't know. Sorry. Let's continue. From today on, it will be a rule that I shall accept only 1/4 of a pot of Lord Jagannath's prasadam and 5 gandas worth of vegetables. Have you ever had Jagannath prasad? What did you get? Oh, I got Khichdi. Well, I never got the other stuff. Did you go inside the temple? Oh, were you able to go in? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. So when I went to Jagannath Puri in 1995, I was the guest of one of my Namahat families. So they were able to go in, but I was not because I'm taking birth in a Malechi Yavana family. So there was, behind the Jagannath temple, there was a building, and I guess it was related to the temple because they had a huge picture of Bhakti Siddhanta in there. You know that house? So, I was told, you wait here, you will get Jagannath Prasad. because I wasn't allowed. So there was somebody who was connected with the house or with the temple, and he said to me, "Oh, you're from America." I said, "Yes." And as he was giving me the prasad, "Can you get me green card?" So I said, "Oh, I can get you green card. Just get me inside Jagannath Temple. I'll get you green card." So he couldn't get me into Jagannath Temple. No green card. That's called Krishna gives you intelligence. No, I didn't go in. I can't get him a green card. No, he couldn't get me. As soon as I said that, he said, "Oh, I can't do that." And I remember talking to one of the younger pujaris, what they call pandas. So I asked him, I said, "What's the feeling?" He said, "The younger, newer Brahmins, they have no problem with Westerners going in." He says, "Mostly it's the older ones." So, in time, it will happen. Yeah? All right, let's get back. So Lord Chaitanya has reduced his eating. "If you bring any more than this, you will not see me here anymore." Govinda relayed this message to all the devotees. When they heard it, they felt as if their heads had been struck by thunderbolts. All the devotees condemned Ramachandra Puri, saying, "This sinful man has come here and taken our lives." That day, a brahmana extended invitation to Lord Chaitanya. When Govinda accepted only 5 gandas worth of vegetables and 1/4 of a pot of rice, the Brahmin, in great despair, struck his head with his hand and cried, "Alas! Alas!" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate only 1/2 of the rice and vegetables. So what? They only brought 1/4 of a pot, and he only ate 1/2 of that. And whatever remained was taken by Govinda. Wow. Thus, both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Govinda ate only 1/2 the food they needed. Because of this, all the other devotees gave up eating. So they all have this mood of being the fully surrendered servant. The way I understand it, it's just like in Vedic culture, the husband would eat first, and then the wife would eat whatever was left on the husband's plate in Vedic times. So the devotees are the same way, that if Lord Chaitanya has reduced his eating, all right, then we're also going to give up eating as well. They have this mood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Govinda and Kashiswar, "You may take alms elsewhere to fill your bellies." In this way, some days passed in great unhappiness. Hearing of all this, Ramachandra Puri went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's not done. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances to Ramachandra Puri, worshipping his feet. Then Ramachandra Puri smiled and spoke to the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya is still meek and humble. After all of this, boy, if somebody reduced my eating, I would not be very meek and humble. Ramachandra Puri advised, "It is not the business of a sannyasi to gratify his senses. He should fill his belly some way or other. I have heard that you have cut your eating in 1/2. Indeed, I see that you are skinny. Such dry renunciation is also not the religion of a sannyasi." So he can't win, no matter what he does, right? First he criticizes him, "You're eating too much, you're eating sweets." Then he does, no matter what he does, he gets criticized. Yeah, what's wrong with you? Right. I would love, I would love to play this in a play. I would love to play Ramachandrapuri. And you be Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, you'd be the perfect Lord. You're nice, handsome, tall, and I'm fat, so I would be a good Ramachandrapuri. And I'm a fault finder by nature. I'd fit right. We'd be typecasting.
Here's a picture.
Yeah. Yes. Can we show the picture to the devotees online? Thank you. So here's the picture. All right, we're showing everybody the picture. This is Ramachandrapuri finding the fault with Lord Chaitanya. Okay, here you go. Yes. Okay. Jai, 16 devotees online. A sannyasi eats as much as necessary to maintain the body, but he does not enjoy satisfying his senses materially. Thus, a sannyasi becomes perfect in his spiritual advancement in knowledge. And of course, he's quoting Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. Okay, let's continue. I'm skipping the Bhagavad Gita verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then humbly submitted, "I am just like an ignorant boy, and I'm like your disciple. It is by great fortune that you are instructing me." This is too much humility. Hearing this, Ramachandrapuri got up and left. He also heard from various sources that all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were eating half as much as usual. The next day, Paramananda Puri and other devotees approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great humility and submission. Paramananda Puri said, "My god brother, Ramachandrapuri, is by nature a bad critic. If you give up eating because of his words, what will be the profit? It is the nature of Ramachandrapuri that first he lets one eat as much as desired, and if he does not eat more than necessary, with great attention, he makes him eat more. In this way, he induces one to eat more than necessary. And then he directly criticizes him, saying, 'You eat so much. How much money do you have in your treasury?' Also, by inducing sannyasis to eat so much, he spoils their religious principles. Therefore, I can understand that you have no advancement. It is Ramachandrapuri's business to inquire always about how others are eating and conducting their daily affairs. The two kinds of activities rejected in the revealed scriptures constitute his daily affairs. One should see that because of the meeting of material nature and the living entity, the universe is acting uniformly. Thus, one should neither praise nor criticize the characteristics or activities of others." Of the two rules, Ramachandrapuri obeys the first by abandoning praise. But although he knows that the second is more prominent, he neglects it by criticizing others. Between the former rule and the latter is more important. So that's why we always say, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. So never forgetting him is more important than remembering him. Even where there are hundreds of good qualities, a critic does not consider them. Rather, he attempts by some trick to point out a fault in those attributes. Yes, I know people like this, and sometimes I say, this person is such that even when they're in Vaikuntha, they'll find something wrong with Vaikuntha. They'll never be happy. There are some people like that. No matter what they have, no matter what their situation in life is, they have to find something wrong. Even if everything's perfect, And so that's why I have this expression, yeah, they'll find fault even in Vaikuntha. Even where there are hundreds of good qualities, a critic does not consider them. Rather, he attempts by some trick to point out a fault in those attributes. One should not, therefore, follow the principles of Ramachandra Puri. Nevertheless, I have to say something against him because he is making our hearts unhappy. So this is Paramananda Puri. Why have you given up proper eating due to criticism of Ramachandra Puri? Please accept invitations as before. This is the request of us all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, why are all of you angry at Ramachandra Puri? He is expounding the natural principles of sannyas life. Why are you accusing him? For a sannyasi, to indulge in satisfying the tongue is a great offense. The duty of a sannyasi is to eat only as much as needed to keep body and soul together. When they all requested very fervently that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take a full meal, he still would not do so. Instead, he responded to their request by accepting half as much as usual. The cost for the food needed to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fixed at 2 panas of cowries, 160 conchals, and that food would be taken by 2 men and sometimes 3. When a brahmana at whose home an invitation could not be accepted invited the Lord, he would pay 2 panas of conchals to purchase the prasadam. When a brahmana at whose home an invitation could be accepted invited him, the brahman would purchase part of the prasadam and cook the rest at home. Even on a day when Lord Chaitanya was invited to dine by others, if Gadadhar Pandit, Bhagavan Acharya, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no independence. He would accept their invitations as they desired. Why is that? Why would, if Gadadhar Bhagavan Acharya invited him, why does it say Lord Chaitanya had no independence? Why? No. What's the real reason? Why would he? Yes, because he's controlled by the love of his devotees. For instance, so many times he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but the devotees would give all these excuses. So he would not go until all the devotees gave him permission to go. In other words, he was subordinate to the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually descended to give happiness to the devotees. Thus he behaved in whatever way fit the time and circumstances. Because of his full independence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes behaved like a common man and sometimes manifested his godly opulence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes accepted Ramachandra Puri as his master and considered himself a servant. And sometimes the Lord, not caring for him, would see him as being just like a straw. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behaved exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beyond the restriction of anyone's intelligence. He did whatever he liked, but all his activities were very beautiful. Thus, Ramachandra Puri stayed for some days at Neelachala, Jagannath Puri. Then he left to visit various holy places of pilgrimage. So Lord Chaitanya defeated him by just remaining meek and humble. And then, after some time, Ramachandra went away. The devotees considered Ramachandra Puri to be like a great burden on their heads. When he left Jagannath Puri, everyone felt extremely happy as if a great stone burden had suddenly fallen from their heads to the ground. After his departure, everything was happy once again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted invitations as usual and led congregational chanting and dancing. Everyone else also accepted prasadam without hindrances. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj again is going to repeat something which is one of the main lessons of this chapter. If one spiritual master rejects him, one becomes so fallen that like Ramachandra Puri, he commits offenses even to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why this morning I was mentioning that the greatest of all the aparads is Guru Aparad. That's the ultimate, that's the worst. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not consider the offenses of Ramachandra Puri, for the Lord considered him his spiritual master. However, his character instructed everyone about the result of offending the spiritual master. The character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is full of nectar. Hearing about it is pleasing to the ear and mind. I write about the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. O readers, please hear with attention, for thus you will easily receive ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. So now, I would like all of you to speak what you learned today from this reading. What did you learn today? What did you take from it? What did you glean? Wait. I want everybody online to hear you, so you got to come close. Because you're not like Bhakta Peter and me, who have very loud. Okay, speak loud. Louder than that. Very good. Prabhuji, what did you learn? Yes, come close.
We shouldn't find fault with others. That's what I learned, like, as devotees. And if I recall in the Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna himself says to Arjun, like he addresses Arjun as Nishpap Arjun. So he himself, Krishna says that Arjun was like as a devotee without faults.
Mm-hmm. Good. Bhakti Devi, please come up here. What did you learn today? No, just I'll hold this. Yes.
What I learned today is, despite of any criticism that we receive from other people, we should offer all the time respect. And take the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who want to be his follower.
Good. Very good. Sriman Bhakta Peter, come please.
Well, all the other devotees have already said what I was about to say, but I'll just add one thing. Also, we have to be careful when we see senior devotees who are having some kind of rasa, we should be careful how we interpret that. And you were so nicely how you said in 1975 how the temple authorities in Vrindavan mentioned that when the certain godbrother of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami came, we should just offer respects. And Srila Prabhupada himself said, even if we see a Mayavadi sannyasi, we should offer respects.
Yes, I was also told that in Vrindavan too. That's right.
And as far as our advancement in Krishna consciousness, but all others we should respect because Paramatma is within their hearts.
Very nice. Very good. Very nice. Get your keyboard there, Maharaj. Yes, it's time for kirtan.
Yeah, I have to beg your excuse. I have to go get ready to go on Harinam. So.
Prabhu, you must do your service.
Do you know, I have to give you some special mercy to the speakers there. And because you mentioned that before, I didn't have the opportunity to.
Jai. Jai.